forward to a wonderful evening, and we have the Hoffs with us tonight, and they're going to be sharing with us as far as their ministry, looking back to the past, to Sioux City, Good News Baptist Church, and how the Lord is blessed in a great way there, and then looking forward to their new ministry opportunity. So be mindful of that. Also tonight we'll be taking a special offering for the Hoffs, so keep that in mind. We'll be doing that after his presentation, after Brad's presentation. And also just a couple other notes to keep in mind. This Tuesday we'll have our Ladies Missionary Guild here at the church, and that's at 7 o'clock, and they'll be tying blankets, little fleece blankets for the Alpha Women's Center. And I think Joy said that they're doing 18 of them, so many hands make lighter work. So I encourage you to come. That'll be a good time. And then also be praying for the Adamson family. Sandy's mom just got moved into hospice care, and this morning I had a message on my answering machine. Her kidneys had basically shut down, Sandy's mom's kidneys, and she was in the hospital, but now they moved her to hospice care. So be remembering Sandy's mom and the whole family, as this is a difficult time. I think that is basically all of our announcements. You can look at the rest of them in the bulletin. But let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are our Lord and our God. And I thank you that we can trust you with all of our needs, all of our wants. Thank you that you have taken care of our greatest, our biggest need, and that is the need of salvation from sin. Thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. Thank you that whoever believes in his name has eternal life. Their sins are forgiven. They're given eternal life with you. What a wonderful thought. And we thank you for that wonderful gift of salvation. And I do thank you that you are a God who answers prayers. You want us to leave all of our burdens before you. And I do pray right now for the Adamson family. I do pray for Sandy's mom that you'd comfort her. And I pray for the rest of the family too, as this is a difficult time. I pray for Bob and for Sandy and for the rest of them. And I even do pray for Chuck and Karen now, as they're facing some difficult times in their life, and so many other things too we can pray for. I thank you are there. I thank you that you are there for us all the time, and thank you for your goodness. So I do pray that you'd bless this evening in a great way, that it would be a time where your name is lifted up. And I pray that you'd encourage us and that you'd even challenge us to live a more godly life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and stand with me to turn to number 306 as Andy comes to lead us in our song service. Number 306, Jesus Saves.
Alrighty, a little closer tonight. Can hear you better.
Hills and deepest caves, this our song of saves.
Amen. Go ahead and take a seat, and let's turn to hymn number 297. I love to tell the story. Hymn 297. Let's turn to hymn number 355. Trusting Jesus. 355.
Small, trusting Jesus. Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way is clear, praying if the path be drear, if in danger for him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the
One more. Right? Yeah, let's go for that fourth one. Sorry.
Alrighty. Let's go.
Trust in him while life shall last. Trust in him till earth be past. Till within the jasper wall. Trust in Jesus now.
Let's go for one more before Pastor Hoff comes to preach. Let's turn to 271. Standing on the Promises, number 271. I guess it's Pastor Hoff's turn, so I guess we got his introduction before. I think we mostly know who he is, so go for it.
Will this bend if I do this? Yeah, okay. You notice I don't have something in common with Andy and Pastor. It's a delight to be with you again this evening, and we have been rejoicing today. My wife and I both were commenting after the service this morning on how good it was to see so many people here at Norwoodville Baptist Church, and we're thrilled to see what God is doing, and just appreciate so very much the ministry of Pastor Kramer. Enjoyed a good lunch with Pastor and with Amy today, a good fellowship with them. And I also want to thank the ladies of the church who have been so faithful in sending us those letters and cards of encouragement. That is a neat ministry that you have, and believe me, it helps. It's a real encouragement, and so thank you so much. Those cards are a reminder to us of your involvement in our ministry, and that we're not serving alone, but we're part of a team, and that we are an extension of your ministry. And so thank you so much for sharing with us in that way. I want to share with you this evening, as has been said, really two main things. One is to give you a report, a final report or a summary report of the planting of Good News Baptist Church in Sioux City. And then having done that, and I'm going to give you a little historical overview of that ministry, but then having done that, then to move on to a presentation of our next ministry, kind of an explanation of that. And we may pause in the middle of that, between those two segments, to give time for question and answers on the first portion of that, and then maybe again at the end as well. As the Lord directed our steps to Sioux City, we said that it really wasn't hard to figure out what we were supposed to be doing there. We felt that the Lord had made that abundantly clear in passages such as Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus said, "Going, make disciples of all the nations." And so we felt that our ministry was to make disciples. And as the church there developed, came together, we stated that as kind of a purpose statement or a mission statement for the church, that our mission was to develop faithful and fruitful followers of Jesus Christ. And that's what a disciple is, a faithful and fruitful follower of Jesus Christ. And so that's been our desire, that's been our endeavor as we have served the Lord in Sioux City. We mentioned this morning in the message that Sioux City was an area, and specifically the west side of Sioux City was an area that had been identified by the Next Towns Evangelism Committee of the Iowa Association of Regular Baptist Churches as a potential church planting site. God had worked in some unusual ways to bring that need to the attention of the men who were on the NTE, or Next Towns Evangelism Committee, at that time. And they then got in contact with Continental Baptist Missions. We were serving with Continental Baptist Missions, had been with the mission for about 9 years at that point, and had been involved as missionary pastor at a church in Iron River, Michigan. Felt that our ministry there was coming to a conclusion. We had expressed that to CBM, and so they then in turn contacted us and asked us to pray about going to Sioux City. And so that's what led us to go there. It was the vision and the burden really developed with the Fellowship of Churches in Iowa, and then God brought us in into that picture, and we shared in that vision and that burden. And so we moved to Sioux City in September of 1994, and we started a Bible study in our home with six people. Joanne and I, our daughter Joelle was 10 at the time, our son Eric was 7, and then there were two other single adults living in Sioux City who had learned about the possible church plant and expressed an interest in being a part of that. And so the six of us began having Bible studies. We met in our home and continued to use our home for some of the ministries for the first year of our ministry there. In January of 1995, we began having public worship services, and on Sunday mornings we would meet in this community center, have our morning worship service there and a fellowship time afterward, and then the other ministries took place still in our home. We met in that community center for about 8 months, and then we renovated a storefront and moved into that storefront, and that became the home for Good News Baptist Church for the next 8 years. And during the time that we were there, the Lord brought more people along to be a part of Good News Baptist Church. Some of these were people who came to Christ and followed Him in believer's baptism. And then during that the 8 years that we were there, the church was able to purchase just a little over three acres of property in the center of our target area. The story of how that came about is another indication of God's hand being on the work, as God enabled this little body of believers to do that. And then in the spring of 2003, we were able to break ground and to begin a building project. The ground was broken first by individuals who had come to Christ through the ministry of the church. We were assisted in that ministry by four missionary builder families. We went through that last slide a little quickly, but you may have noticed that there were four fifth-wheel trailers that were parked there. Missionary builder families live in those fifth wheel trailers, and they are supported missionaries and are able to go to church plants and help them with the construction of their first building and save a good deal of money on construction cost by doing that. And to them, it's a ministry. They're not just carpenters. They're not just contractors. It's a ministry. During the 6 months that they were with us, they became involved in other areas of ministry, and that's their desire. But it was a tremendous blessing to our church. And in October of 2003, Good News was able to move into this completed building. To give you a little idea of the savings that are involved in that, the church was able to construct that building, and it's a 4,200 square foot building, and then we had to pave the parking lot and put in that retaining wall that you see there, and all of that within our budget of $176,000. And if you are aware of building costs, you realize that that building is worth far more than that. But that's part of the ministry of the CBM Missionary Builders, and we're very thankful for that. The building has been a blessing to the ministry. Buildings don't build churches, okay? And churches aren't just buildings, you know that. But God has blessed through the ministries that have been taking place as we've sought to develop faithful and fruitful followers of Christ. And that building has served well. We're very thankful for the group of believers that God has brought together. Again, people who have come to know Christ and then who have been growing as disciples, growing as followers of Christ. In the passage that I preached from this morning, Acts chapter 11, there were several things that we noticed in that history or that record of the beginning of the church in Antioch. we noticed the fruit that came from that, or the product of a church being planted in Antioch, and we saw that there were people who were saved. A great many people believed and turned to the Lord is the expression that's used there. And then we also saw that believers were discipled through the ministry of that church in Antioch. Those people were the first ones to be given that designation Christian. And that's an indication to us that there was a visible change in their lives that others noticed as they turned to the Lord. And we believe that happens when people get saved, that they need to follow Christ, and there needs to be a visible change that takes place in their lives. Not just that they have that assurance that when they die they'll go to heaven to be with the Lord, but we need to be followers of the Lord, don't we, here and now, and that following Him will make a difference in our lives. We noticed those things. We also noted several things about the process of really, church planting is a responsibility that belongs to churches. You can't say, well, it's a responsibility that a few people have whom God leads into church planting ministry, but it's a responsibility that belongs to local churches. At the time that we were preparing to go to Sioux City, I was talking with another young man who was preparing for a church planting ministry, and he'd made the comment that he believed that it was natural, or it is natural, for churches to plant churches. Not that it's usual, not that that's what usually happens, but it's a natural thing. When we look in the Word of God, it should be something that results from churches following the Lord. And I would agree with that. I believe it's a responsibility that local churches have. And so we looked at that, and we talked a little bit about the specific vision that the church in Jerusalem had for Antioch, sent Barnabas to that place. But then we also saw that along with the specific vision, we need to have a general vision for church planting. The church in Antioch sent out Barnabas and Saul to wherever God would lead them. Not just one location, but to that work in general, as God led them to a number of communities. Well, there was another point that I mentioned, but we didn't really dwell on, and I want to come back to that this evening. When Barnabas first arrived in Antioch, we're told in verse 23 of Acts chapter 11 that he came and had seen the grace of God. He was glad. He encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Verse 24 says that Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Verse 25 says, then Barnabas departed. So, well, that's kind of odd. And all things are going well. He just arrived in Antioch, and it's been telling us all these good things, and then it tells us that Barnabas departed. Well, why did he do that? He departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. We went back to Acts chapter 9. We would see that these two men had a history. They had met each other, and Barnabas had a role in Saul's life a little bit earlier. And now he goes to Tarsus to seek Saul. Verse 26 says, when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And that strikes me, that Barnabas left the work there for a short time in Antioch and went to Tarsus. And again, if my measuring is correct on the map and using that little scale, I think it's something like 125 miles from Antioch to Tarsus if you go by land. And if I'm remembering that correctly, this past week we were in Minnesota for the Minnesota Association of Regular Baptist Churches Fall Conference. And then for a couple of days following that conference, my son and I did some hiking on the Superior Hiking Trail in northern Minnesota. And altogether, we hiked about 21 or 22 miles. And so I can kind of think about walking 125 miles and then back another 125 miles and think about the time involved in that. And so obviously Barnabas thought it was worth the effort, that it was important that he do that. He went and found Saul, brought him back, and we see these two guys ministering together. We mentioned this morning that the church in Antioch at one point took an offering and sent their offering to help the believers in Jerusalem. This was the church that had had a part in the planting of their church in Antioch, and now they are aware of a need in Jerusalem, and so they send an offering there. And when Barnabas and Paul, they were the ones who delivered the funds to Jerusalem, when they came back from Jerusalem, Acts chapter 12, verse 25 tells us that they brought a guy with them. They brought John Mark with them. And then when the Lord sent them out, sent Barnabas and Saul out from the church in Antioch, they had John Mark with them for a time until he quit and left their company. But if we continued on through the book of Acts, that to me seemed to be a pattern that we see there. The practice of team ministry and the practice of apprenticeships. We had felt for some time in the developing of Good News Baptist Church in Sioux City that when the time came for that church to call a pastor and for us to leave that ministry, that it would be much better for that church family if that could be a gradual transition rather than an abrupt change. You know, one pastor here one Sunday, and we certainly didn't want them to go through a period of months without a pastor as a new church, a fledgling church. That can be difficult enough for an established church, let alone for a young church. We didn't want them to go through that, and sometimes a church planter will stay through the process of calling another pastor and will help the church as they work through that. And then his last Sunday will be one week, one Sunday, and then the very next Sunday their new pastor comes and begins his ministry. And that's not a bad practice, but again, we felt that just the nature of that church, it would be better if there could be an overlap. And so for the last 2.5 years of our ministry in Sioux City, we had the privilege of working with John and Tara Woodford. John is a graduate of Faith Baptist Bible College, and both he and Tara graduated from the seminary, Faith Baptist Seminary. We asked them if they would be willing to work alongside of us for 2 or 3 years as an apprentice, and they were very eager to do that. And from the very beginning, established a tremendous relationship with the people who are part of Good News Baptist Church. It was obvious to see that that John is a shepherd, and that's just what they began to do, is to shepherd those people. And so we had the privilege of working together with them. God worked in their hearts, gave them a desire to stay and continue with the church, and gave to the church a desire to have them stay on as their pastor and wife. And so the church called Pastor Woodford to be their pastor, and I talk with him. We try to talk every week. Sometimes it's every other week, but things continue to go well there, and God continues to bless, and so we're thrilled to hear that. And this past July, July 19th, the church celebrated its graduation. They're able to support Pastor and Mrs. Woodford full-time in the ministry, and so we're able to step away from that ministry, and they're able to care for themselves, to govern themselves. They're reaching out, and so now are an established church, and it was a thrill that day to celebrate that. And a part of that celebration was to recognize the part, the great part, that the Iowa Fellowship has had in that, in the life of that church. And so, folks, today there exists a church, Good News Baptist Church, on the west side of Sioux City, a church that was not there before, but as a result of your outreach, as a result of your prayer support, your financial support, this church, the prayer support and financial support from you and from other churches like you, this church exists there today and is carrying on a ministry. And so we can rejoice together in that, can't we? And that's you have had a part in that. This is the fruit of your ministry here as a church. I know that probably most of you have not met any of these people who are part of Good News Baptist Church, but God has used you in that process. And so on behalf of the church, on behalf of Good News Baptist Church, we want to thank you for your part and to rejoice together in what God has done. This church, Good News Baptist Church, is probably about the same size as Norwoodville Baptist Church. They run 50, 60 people on a normal Sunday morning. They've been having some new folks that have been visiting the services, and they're continuing to move forward for the glory of Christ. Any questions that you have for us about the history, the planting of Good News Baptist Church in Sioux City before I move on to the next? Yes, sir. Yes, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that biblical? We didn't do that just to be different, you know, just to be novel. It actually started when we were meeting in the storefront, just to utilize the facility that we had. We were considering some things, and we began to consider, well, maybe we should have Sunday school on Sunday evenings, and so it began quite early in the history of the church, and we've continued on that tradition. And as we did, we realized that when Sunday school began as a ministry in the late 1700s, and Robert Raikes, considered to be the founder of Sunday school over in England, in the large industrial cities of England, Sunday schools typically met on Sunday afternoon. Charles Spurgeon's church, Metropolitan Tabernacle, in the mid-1800s, they would have their worship service on Sunday morning, and then Sunday afternoons there would be a number of Sunday schools taking place, not just in their building, but in rented halls throughout the city, and it was an outreach ministry of their people, and then they would come back together on Sunday evening. So we realized that it's not something established in Scripture, and that even through the history of Sunday school, it's the time slot has changed. Though here in America, it's been Sunday morning, hasn't it? So, yes, sir. No, we have Sunday school for about an hour and 15 minutes on Sunday evenings. Sunday mornings after the worship service, we have done a variety of things. We've had the worship service, and then we have a fellowship time, you know, the coffee and Kool-Aid and cookies and so on. And then we have had what we call a follow-up service, and we do a variety of things. On the first Sunday of the month, we have communion during that follow-up time slot. One Sunday a month, we have a missions focus. We have a missionary, a guest missionary with us. That's when he does his presentation. If we don't have a guest missionary with us, then we share things from missionaries' prayer letters and spend time praying for missionaries. One Sunday a month, we also have we call ministry matters. If there's business that needs to be taken care of, we'll have our business meeting then. Otherwise, we'll use that time just to, as an informational time, to let people know about what's going on in the church. And then Yes, fifth Sunday of the month, we'd have a fellowship dinner. And so there are a variety of things that we would do. So, yes, sometimes we'd have Singspiration type of thing. So we would spend, we spent the same amount of time together. It's just, we, you know, 2 hours Sunday morning, but Sunday evening we had had Sunday school and worked well. Very good question, so thank you. Any others? Yes.
Does the church have a basement?
No, it does not. It's built on a slab. If you put a basement in a church building, you have to put in an elevator, and so the cost goes up much higher with a basement.
It's actually phase one of a three-phase building.
Yep. The building was designed with the expectation of adding a wing on with Sunday school classrooms, and then that would allow for a third phase for a larger auditorium at the end of that.
You have vacation Bible school in the summer?
We have done several different things. We've had vacation Bible school the last 3 years now. We did something a little bit different. We called it Summer Bible Adventure, and we had, it's like vacation Bible school, but we had it one night a week for 8 weeks. We had it, I think, Monday evenings is when we had it, one night a week for 8 weeks, and again, that was something a little bit different, but it worked well for us. And
it's appropriate families in our church, because for one thing, those that have little kids, it gave them a date night once a week.
Yeah.
You know, because we were teaching their children.
Yeah, that, it was the idea of one of the ladies in our church, and that was one of the things that she wanted to do, was to give the parents that opportunity. But then it also worked out, I think, a little bit better for our for those who are workers in it, that the one night a week, it worked well. Worked well. So, yes.
I think vacation Bible school helps to bring in people that probably wouldn't come to church. You know, the young people. Years ago, we used to have so many young people.
Mm-hmm. We definitely had children come to Vacation Bible School and to our Summer Bible Adventure who did not come, you know, regularly to our Sunday school, and so we had an outreach to children through that. I know it varies from church to church in terms of reaching families. We reached children, but in our experience there, I don't know that we saw families added to the church as a result of that. But again, that I know of others where they have. So that, you know, that varies from community to community, I think. So. Very good questions. Yes, Jesse.
What was the deciding factor on going to Sioux City?
Well, for us personally, or for there to be a church plant there?
There to be a church plant.
Okay. There had been a previous investigation by the NTE committee, an investigation into Sioux City. Is that a community? I mean, it's the fourth largest city in Iowa. Should they be looking to plant a church there? So there had been an investigation there. They looked at the churches that were existing churches in the city, and the metro area is about 100,000 people, maybe a little bit larger than 100,000, but right around there. And their decision at that time, and that was in 1988, their decision at that time was not to pursue Sioux City. They identified the west side as an area in need of a church. There are fewer churches of any kind on that side of town, and the church that would be closest to us you know, doctrinally was an Assemblies of God church. And so they saw it as an area of need, but at that time there was another Baptist church in Sioux City that was planning or thinking seriously about taking some of their families and starting a church plant on the west side. They're located on a different side of town, but they were seriously considering planting a church there. We're not exactly the same as that church, and it would be a church where people would hear the gospel and could be saved. They're headed in the church is headed in a little different direction than we are, you know. But that was the reason why they chose not to. They saw the area of need, said yes, the church needs to be here, but this church is talking seriously about planting a church there, and there's no reason for us to be in there on top of them. So they abandoned the idea. But in the process of making that investigation, they had met a real estate agent. They'd stopped by his office to see if they could use the phone to make a couple of phone calls, and he took them into a conference room. This was Bob Hummerkaus and Chris Hindle. Bob was the state representative at that time. Chris Hindle was pastor in Slater. And this man gave them the use of that conference room, said, here's the phone books, here are maps of the city, you guys use this room as long as you need to. And so they spent quite a bit of time there that day making phone calls and asking questions and things. And they had sent a thank you note back to that man who had been exceptionally helpful to them. And then 4.5 years later, Bob Hummerkaus got a call from that real estate agent. In the meantime, this agent had left that company and had started his own agency and was working with the city on plans for a major development on the west side. And he found that thank you note that he'd received 4.5 years earlier, and remembered his conversation with those two men, and had called Bob and said, you didn't think it was the right time, you know, 4.5 years ago, but I'm telling you now is the right time, which is kind of unusual because this man is, you know, he's not a fundamental Baptist. He was a member of a large church in Sioux City, but he didn't go to his church and say, hey, let's start a church over on this other side of town. Instead, he contacted this fundamental Baptist and said, you need to come. So that led them to reinvestigate it, and when they did, they found out that the church that earlier had been planning to take some of their people and start a church there, they'd had a change, a turnover in pastoral leadership, and they had abandoned that plan. They just wanted to grow and become a large church, a mega church, and which is what they did. So it left that area wide open, and so that was the deciding factor why they pursued that. When we were asked to pray about it, and then we made our first visit to Sioux City, we met the real estate agent, and he's a good salesman. By the way, he was telling us all these plans he had for where the church was going to be located. No intention of being a part of that church, but this is where it was going to be located, and he bought some property that he wanted to sell to the church, and we did not. We ended up not buying that, and it was for the best, but we met him, and we talked with Bob Hummerkaus earlier and had kind of gotten filled in on what had been going on, and we left the city that evening, and we thought, you know, first of all, that this thing really was of God, and someone needed to go and plant a church, that there was a need and an opportunity there and clear indication that God was leading in that way. But then the question was, is that someone us? Do we go? And at that time we had not met those two adults that wanted to be part of the church. We knew of no one who wanted to be a part of the church. We met this man who thought it needs to be there, and some other indications, but there was no one, there was no core group of people saying, hey, send us a missionary church planter, we want to be a church. And so we thought about it, and that's, for us, that was a very scary thought, you know, go into a community that we didn't know. Neither my wife or I are from Sioux City. We're both from northern Wisconsin, from small towns, and to us, a city of 100,000 is a large city. We found out differently since then, but so there was a lot of fear and trepidation, I guess. But the thought that went through my mind, that what went through my mind was the experience of Joshua and the people of Israel in Joshua chapter 6 when they took Jericho. You know, none of those people had ever marched, had ever taken a city that way. You know, nobody had ever marched around the city once a day for 6 days, and then seven times in the seventh day. You know, yet because they were faithful, they got to see what God could do. They got to see firsthand what God could do. And we thought, if this is of God and we go, then we'll have the opportunity to see firsthand what God can do. And we did. So that's how the Lord directed our steps there. It's very good. All right, I am going to move on to the next part of this then, and if you have other questions, please don't hesitate to ask afterward. I wonder if my battery is dying here. It might be. Oh, I know what it is. Yeah. All right. I want to talk to you a little bit about Continental Baptist Missions, the mission agency that Joanne and I have been serving with since 1985. The reason why Continental Baptist Missions exists is to provide support services for planting and developing biblically sound and spiritually healthy Baptist churches in North America. The mission agency has been in existence since 1942, and so they have been carrying out that mission, that work, for, what is that, 67 years now. Currently, CBM is providing those support services to 27 church plants, okay? And this map shows you where those church plants are located. Now, this map is not quite current, and so if you were to count really fast, you'd count more than 27 stars on that map. But several of these churches have graduated since then. But this gives you an idea of where our church plants are located. And Dan, I wondered if you noticed anything on that map. Our pastor's wife, Tara Woodford, is from Colorado, and she saw that map and she said, where are the church plants in that part of the country? But that's where our current church plants are. I want to just share with you very quickly, very briefly, about three of these church plants, just to give you an idea of the variety of locations where CBM church planters are working. Matt and Winetta Schrepfer are planting Valley Baptist Church in Eureka, Montana. Eureka, Montana is located about 10 miles from the Canadian border, bordering British Columbia. And they're a new church plant, about 3 years in the making. And they have been using this conference building for their services on Sundays. Wouldn't that be awful to have to go to a building like that on Sunday? And wouldn't it be awful to have to see those mountains all the time? Yeah. But that's a community of about 3,000 people. And the Schrepfers felt led of God to go there and to attempt a church plant. And this is also a from-scratch work. There wasn't a group of people there waiting for them when they went. And so that's one of our 27 church plants. I'd also like to tell you a little bit about Bible Baptist Church of Elk River, Minnesota. Elk River, they're kind of bouncing between neighboring suburbs, Elk River and Otsego. Minnesota. They're suburbs, northern suburbs of Minneapolis, St. Paul. And so this is not a small town in Montana, but it's a suburb and of a large metropolitan area. Doug and Julie Roman were sent out by Fourth Baptist Church of Plymouth, Minnesota. Fourth Baptist being quite an old, established, historic church, and they, like the church in Jerusalem, had a vision for a specific neighboring community, the Otsego Elk River community, and so they approached a couple within their church family, the Romans, and asked them to consider leading a church plant, and gave some of their families, several of their families, to be a part of that. So they started with a core group, and they are meeting in rented facilities. Started out in a middle school and then moved to a standalone building, and if they haven't, they are just about to move into a different rented facility, having outgrown this one. And so there's a suburban church plant. And then we also want to tell you about River North Baptist Church. Bill and Tamara Branks are planting a church on the Loop in Chicago, the north end of the Loop. Again, the dynamics of this ministry are very different than the dynamics of the other two. It's not the same in some ways as the church in Montana or the church in a suburb of Minneapolis, St. Paul, but it's a downtown church, and there are a variety of people that they are ministering to. It's a very interesting ministry for them. A year or so ago, this church plant was highlighted in a story in the Baptist Bulletin, so you may have read a little bit about it. But these are several of the locations where God has led our CBM church planters. And you understand that a mission agency does not send missionaries, okay? Local churches send missionaries. We, as a mission agency, we can't manufacture missionaries. They come from churches. I'm thankful for the ministry of Faith Baptist Bible College and Seminary. That's my alma mater. And both of our children have gone through Faith, and I'm very thankful for the ministry of that school. But I don't believe that we would be correct in saying to Bible colleges and seminaries and say it's your job to raise up and to train people for ministry. They can help educate them for that, but that responsibility belongs to local churches. That's where missionaries come from, and so we need to be sending them out to places like this and other places where churches are needed. Well, how does a field director enter into that picture? What does a field director do? That's the ministry that we were asked to pray about. It was 3 years ago now that we were first approached and said, when the church in Sioux City graduates, would you pray about becoming the next field director for Continental Baptist Missions? And by the way, CBM has one field director, okay? There's Baptist Church Planters, another agency much like ours, has several field directors, but we have one field director, so our ministry will be to one major area of our ministry will be to our church planters. And so our ministry will be to people like the Schrepfers and like the Romans and the Branks as a coach, as an encourager, as a counselor, as a prayer partner for them, helping to provide resources and things to them. And so that's really the first and foremost area of our ministry will be to our church planters, also to the churches that they are planting. And sometimes those churches may find themselves without a church planter, and we would have a ministry to them and just a ministry of encouragement to them, helping them to stay focused on the matter of graduating as a church. And so our ministry will be in part to the mission churches. Our ministry also will be to other churches. We mentioned the church plant in Elk River, Otsego, Minnesota. Fourth Baptist Church is a large church, has strong leadership in it. But when they sent out the Romans to plant that church in a neighboring suburb, they chose to partner with CBM, and to that we might have a ministry to the Romans and to the church. And so that's a service, a ministry to that church. When the Iowa Association of Regular Baptist Churches contacted CBM back in the mid-90s about the possibility of planting a church in Sioux City, that's a ministry that CBM had to that fellowship of churches. So sometimes it's to an individual church, sometimes it's to a fellowship or a group of churches, but the field director's ministry involves that as well, and then also serving as one of the administrators for our mission agency. And so for that reason, we will be relocating to where our office is in Rockford, Michigan. But as you can see, our ministry will involve a significant amount of travel as well to visit the church planters in their places of ministry. Our needs in relationship to that. There are three needs that we would share with you this evening. First, we recognize a need for wisdom and personal growth in our lives. We have had the privilege of being involved in a from-scratch church plant in Sioux City. We were involved before that in another church plant, not one that we had started, but one that was in progress when we were led there in Iron River, Michigan. And so we have some experience in church planting, but we're certainly not experts in it, and every church plant is different, and we realize that there's a constant need for wisdom as we have opportunity of counseling with church planters and advising them and looking together at the Word of God to see what they should do in different situations. And so we realize a need for wisdom and personal growth in our lives. Something that has been mentioned and has been reiterated to us by our president, Bill Jenkin, president of Continental Baptist Missions, one of the things that they are looking forward to with our coming into this ministry is the fact that Joanne will be able to travel with me and for her ministry to the church planters' wives. And so as you pray for us, be praying for her as well as she steps into that role. And so that's one need that we have. A second need is for our financial and prayer support to be continued. Continental Baptist Missions is a small agency, and our administrators, our field director, the director of building ministries, the pre-field ministries director, these gentlemen are all supported missionaries, just like our church planters and our church builders. And so it's not a salaried position that we're moving into. It's necessary that we bring missionary support with us in order for us to be able to serve in that capacity. And so that's a prayer request as well, for that financial and prayer support to be continued. And related to that, then, would be additional financial support. When we concluded our ministry in Sioux City, that church had been supporting us for a certain amount of money as their pastor, and as it was right for them to do. But when we left that ministry and they took on the responsibility of supporting a pastor full-time, then those monies were needed to provide that support for their pastor. And so that left us then with some needs in the area of financial support. When we sent out an update about 2 weeks ago, that figure said $1,000, approximately $1,000 a month. When we gave this presentation presentation to one of our supporting churches last Sunday. That slide still said $1,000 a month, but in the past week, we have heard from one church that has voted to begin supporting us, and then also from an individual who has committed to increasing his support, a monthly support for us. And so in the last week, we've seen an increase in our support, of a promised increase of $350 a month. So we're rejoicing in that. And so that number is smaller now than it was just a week ago. So those are our needs as we head into that ministry. And we appreciate your praying with us regarding those needs. We're looking forward to the ministry that, that God has set before us. It's not something that we had set our sights on and said, when we finish up at Sioux City, we want to be the field director for CBM. When our current field director, Tom Logsdon, asked us to pray about replacing him in that ministry, it came as a real surprise, and yet it was something that that was appealing to me. The opportunity, as we've told people, the opportunity to really to see the church planting forest and not just one tree, you know, the church that you're currently planting, but to be able to be involved in church planting in a broader way. And so we're looking forward to that. Excited about God's leading in that direction, and for the way that He has been working in this time of transition as we've concluded our ministry in Sioux City. And so I want to thank you for your prayer support, financial support in the past, and as you join us in praying regarding these things, we thank you. I have gone about 5 minutes over time here this evening, and so I would welcome any questions that you have, but I also know that there's food waiting downstairs, isn't there? So I guess, Pastor, I'll let you make the call, but if folks want to just ask us questions, do you want to take time for that now, or do you want to do that? Okay. He's not hungry, I guess, so. So, very good. Questions that you have regarding the ministry that lies ahead of us, or about the ministry of Continental Baptist Missions in general? Yes, Jesse.
Has CBM planted or helped plant churches in California before?
Yes. When we first came with Continental Baptist Missions in 1985, we had at least one missionary in California. I have a list in my notebook of churches that have been planted by CBM, so I could tell you the location, but I know of one for sure in California. That makes me think of something, though, that I would just pass on. You know that Andy had opportunity to do an internship this summer out in Boston with some Baptist Missions missionaries and their ministry targeting international students in the colleges and universities in Boston. In 2007-2008 school year, there were 620,000 international students in America. These are people who've come from other countries to study here. So really the world has come to us in that fashion. These are people, many of whom will be going back to their countries, some of them countries that we couldn't send a missionary to, you know, as a missionary. They could go perhaps in some other capacity, but an opportunity to reach them here. Bill Edmondson has a real vision for reaching those individuals, discipling them while they're here, with the idea that you're extending your ministry to these foreign countries as they go back. International Baptist Fellowship in Boston is a ministry that's discipling the nations. I think a thrilling ministry. But I, in saying that, the largest, you know, the university in the United States with the largest number of international students is the University of Southern California. And UCLA is right up there with them. And So those are some areas of opportunity and need. California and that area, especially for someone with a vision to reach internationals while they're here studying as well. So that would be an area where, plus just the vision for reaching cities as well. So, good. Other questions? There are prayer cards on our display table in the back, and they have our current address, contact information there.
Thank you very much, Brad, and be sure that you take time to talk with Brad and Joanne, and I'm sure you probably have your email address on there as well, so if you want to keep in contact, you know, even later on. But what we're going to do now is go ahead and take an offering for the Hoffs, and Dave, why don't you go ahead and pray for the offering?
Dear Heavenly Father, we're just thankful, Father, for servants that are willing to go and do your bidding, Father, and go and plant churches, and Father, to do your work. And so, Father, we just pray as we take up this offering that we might provide for those that serve you, that you bless it. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Just skip over our closing hymn, but you're all invited to come downstairs for a fellowship, and we have a lot of good food down there, and you probably smell it already, but let's go ahead and give thanks to the Lord for a good day today and for the food downstairs. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the blessing it is to have the Hoffs here with us. Thank you for the blessing it is to serve you. I do pray that we'd have a burden that churches would be planted, not only in Iowa, but throughout the country and throughout the world. And I pray that you'd use good fundamental churches that preach the gospel to reach many people. And I thank you for the work of the Haas. I pray that you'd bless them as they continue to present in their supporting churches. I pray that you'd guide them and give them wisdom. And I even do pray that you'd meet their needs. And thank you that you are a God who provides for us and who cares for us. Even do thank you for the food downstairs and for the hands that have fixed it. And just pray that you would bless that in a great way. And we do thank you for all of your many good goodnesses to us. And pray that you'd give us a good week and that we just have that burden to reach others with Jesus Christ. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.